Okay.
All right. Everybody got their green lights on? Green lights go. Okay, we're going to start. I'm going to shortly give an introduction as to what we're doing here today and how we're going to do it. Talk about the procedures. Assuming everybody's here, Mr. Biela, everybody?
Yes.
Mr. Adger, you're here by yourself. Ms. Bendish, you have everybody here?
Yes.
All right. Then we'll go on the record. It's about 1:30 on May 17th, 2010. We're in the Public Service Commission hearing room for the informal reclamation conference, or reclamation informal conference. We're in the state capitol in Bismarck, North Dakota. Again, this is an informal conference pursuant to the request of Mr. Paul Azure of Fairmont, North Dakota, under the provisions of North Dakota Century Code Chapter 38-14.1, specifically under North Dakota Century Code Section 38-14.1-19. In December of 2009, the Commission received the application for revision number 19 to surface coal mining permit NAFK-9503 from the Falkirk Mining Company. As part of this revision, Falkirk proposes to mine additional lands in sections 15, 21, 22, 28, and 33, Township 145 North, Range 83 West, resulting in changes to the post-mining topography and reclamation schedules for lands within the permit. This revision also updates business entity and environmental information and other operations and reclamation plans in the permit. On March 23rd of this year, the Commission received a request for an informal conference from Mr. Azure. Mr. Azure asserts that he's a person with concerns about the listing of subsurface owners on lands within the permit and newspaper notice for this application. On April 21st of this year, the Commission issued a notice of informal conference as required by North Dakota Century Code Section 38-14.1-19, and of course that notice scheduled today's informal conference. My name is Alan Hoberg. I've been designated by the Commission to preside today as hearing officer in this informal conference. I've been asked to conduct the conference and issue recommended findings of fact and conclusions of law and a recommended order to the Commission. The full Commission will then consider my recommendation and issue a final order or ruling on this matter within 30 days of the informal conference, subject to a possible request for a formal hearing under North Dakota Century Code Section 38-14.1-30. At this time, I'll take appearances. Mr. Paul Azure is here, as I said, and you're representing yourself today. Is that correct?
That's correct.
You don't have an attorney in this matter today. All right. Mr. Biela, would you state your appearance, please?
Yes, Brian Biela with the law firm of Crowley Fleck of Bismarck, representing the Falkirk Mining Company.
And who do you have with you today?
We anticipate one witness, Mr. Jim Melchior, and we also have other Falkirk personnel.
All right, thank you. Ms. Bendish, please.
Annette Bendish, legal counsel for the Public Service Commission. With me at the table is Jim Deutz, director of the Reclamation Division.
All right, thank you. Are you going to be making a presentation on this matter today? Probably not.
Brief procedural, if anything.
All right. Is there anyone else present who wishes to participate in this matter today? All right. Here's the procedure we're going to follow today. As I said, this is an informal conference. I'm going to take presentations from the two parties, and perhaps some comments from the Public Service Commission, I guess. You'll see how it goes, but I'll start with Falkirk Mining to present in regard to any information that they may want to present on the application and the concerns of Mr. Azure. You're calling a witness?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay, you're going to do the question and answering of it?
Yes.
Okay. So he's going to make his presentation through questions of his witness. I'm not going to have cross-examination of witnesses here today, but I am going to allow people to express questions or concerns about the testimony given by other witnesses that the parties may want to address when they do their follow-up presentations. So you're going to present a witness and present your information through question and answer. Then I'll call on Mr. Azier to present the information he wants to present in regard to the issues in this matter. Then I'll ask the Public Service Commission if they have any comment or information to present. Then I'll go back to you, Mr. Biela, for a follow-up presentation. And Mr. Azier, when you make your presentation, if there's questions or concerns you have about what Falkirk Mining is presenting, I think you should write those down and express them in your presentation so that Falkirk Mining can address them in its follow-up presentation. Because again, as I said, there won't be any cross-examination of anybody today. So you'll have a follow-up presentation then after the PSC, if they make any presentation. You'll also have a follow-up presentation to make in regard to this matter. During your presentations or after your presentations, I may have some questions of either of the parties also. Following the follow-up presentations, I'll take the matter under advisement. As I said, I am charged with issuing a recommended decision to the Public Service Commission, and I'll do that fairly shortly after the closing of this hearing because the Commission, as I said, has 30 days from the date of this informal conference to issue a final decision. All right, let's talk about the issues today. Mr. Azier, reading your statements and your request for an informal conference, it appears to me that your issues or concerns are regarding proper notice and the listing of current mineral owners. Would that be correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Are there any other issues that I'm missing besides those?
That's the main issue, yes.
What are the minor issues then?
I guess I'll have to look through it.
When you go through your presentation? But those are the main issues?
Right.
Okay. Are those the issues as you understand them, Mr. Biela?
Primarily, yes.
Primarily? All right. When you make your presentations, I would appreciate it if you would refer as applicable to sections of the law or the rules in regard to the issues, such as notice, listing of current mineral owners. If there's an applicable statute or rule that you're aware of, I'd appreciate it if you'd point that out to me, because I'm not exactly clear under what statutes or rules we're operating here. I mean, I've looked at them, and it's not exactly clear to me. All right. Any questions about the procedures today?
Your Honor, I guess I would just, since Mr. Azier is the applicant, the one requested this hearing, I guess it would be certainly our preference if he goes first and makes whatever statements, issues he wishes to present, and we could follow up with that.
Let's see. I'm looking for something here. Well, anyway, I think, is that satisfactory to you, Mr. Azier, that you go first?
I can start.
Okay, that might be preferable in this situation, especially. I've done it other ways at other times, but I think in this situation it might be wise to do it that way. I'm missing some notes I had, but we'll deal without them. All right, then why don't we start with you, Mr. Azier. Tell us who you are and where you live, and maybe, I think we have the spelling of your name. Is that the correct spelling of your name? Paul Azier, A-Z-U-R-E?
That's correct.
All right. Why don't you start then, please?
The main issue I got is I don't believe the permit application is accurate and complete. And I believe that Falkirk knew that it wasn't accurate and complete, and they did nothing about it. And they even let it go into the newspaper knowing that it wasn't accurate and complete.
Okay.
I think there was a willful violation. And I also believe they should be fined for it. And I believe Mr. Jim Petrich here.
Mr. Deutsch?
Deutsch. He knows a little bit more about the dates of everything, and I'm thinking he can give some light into this. We talked on the phone about it several times. He wasn't too enthusiastic about looking it up. I asked him to look up the records over at the county courthouse several times. Both times he refused, but I think he knew what I was talking about. And I think he can give a little more light on that information there.
Oh, are you, have you completed your presentation?
For the first part, yeah.
Okay, just before I turn it over to him, can you tell me what wasn't accurate or complete about the application? Do you?
The full names of mineral owners weren't listed.
You mean all of the names?
Right.
So there were some missing, is that? Does that also apply to when the notice is given in the newspaper? Is that? So both in the application and the notice, all of the mineral owners weren't listed?
The application, I don't believe they knew of it, but I believe they knew of it within a day or two afterwards, and I think they chose to keep it quiet and not say anything about it until sometime way later when I brought it up to Jim, and then he was hesitant about pursuing it.
Right. So you think the application should be denied because it's a willful violation? Do you have any, is there a basis in law for that as far as you're aware?
The basis I got is No permit or revision application may be approved, so forth. A, the permit application is accurate and complete, and I don't believe it was accurate or complete, and I don't believe there's any way they can just add a name to it to make it accurate and complete without republishing it in the newspaper.
As far as you're aware, they didn't republish it?
They knew of it even before, I believe they knew of it even before it was first published the first week, and they kept it quiet.
Okay. Just so we have some information, are you a mineral owner?
Yes, I am.
Okay. You're not a surface owner, though, or are you?
Mineral owner.
Mineral owner, okay. And was your name listed on the original application?
No, my name wasn't, and I believe it should have been. That's another minor.
And was it listed? Was your name listed in the notice that went out?
They're saying that they only have to list people that are on public record at the courthouse. That's according to what the law states. They know that all of the mineral owners, or big percentage of them are not listed because it costs thousands of dollars to get your name listed in the public at the courthouse. And nobody's going to do that for a couple hundred bucks or a couple thousand bucks, whatever they're getting. I believe the mining companies know that, and they're using that to exclude everybody. But I think that's wrong. And if you go to 38.18.05, you'll see the definition, point six, you'll see the definition of a mineral owner. Go to 38.14.1-18.2. You'll see it says the permit application such and such must include a list of all subsurface mineral owners within the proposed permit area. And I believe that me and all my cousins and other relatives that aren't registered in the county courthouse, we're still mineral owners, according to 38.18.05.6. And I think we should be listed in the permit. And they're not doing it.
Well, you think they should be listed in the permit and in the notice, the newspaper notice, correct?
I'm not saying the newspaper notice, but they should be in the permit.
All right. Yeah. And do you think the remedy is that they should be denied and or they should have to republish?
I think you have no choice but to deny them. The permit is not, it's not accurate, and it's not complete, and they knew it wasn't accurate and complete, and they still pressed on with it. I think you have no choice but to deny them and make them redo the application all over again. Falkirk's going to come back with me by saying that I'm not a mineral owner because of this and that legal thing. Well, we got a definition of mineral owner right here in the book. And if you go to 38.18.05 or 38.18.06, 07, jump down to three. It says any instrument which purpose to waive rights granted by this section is null and void and no legal effect. I believe the legislature put this in.
Which section? Which one are you talking about?
38.18.06.
Subsection three.
Subsection three. I believe that makes subsection 6 and 38.18.05 exclusive as a mineral owner, and it grants me and my relatives all mineral owner rights, even though my grandfather wrote the mineral contract 35 years ago, and he's been dead for 30 years. Falkirk is going to try to tell you that unless you go through a big, long legal proceeding, spend thousands of dollars, you're not considered a mineral owner. Well, I think, according to this book, you are considered a mineral owner. And this is basically what the fight's going to be about.
Okay. That's what you have to present at this time?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. Okay. Mr. Biella?
Thank you. I guess, Your Honor, just before I get to my witness, I'd like to make a comment about Chapter 38-18, which Mr. Azier has cited, and call Your Honor's attention to the title of the law, it's Surface Owner Protection Act, and then under the legislative findings, the purpose of this law is for the mining companies to give notice to the surface owners of impacts of coal mining and to obtain their consent to the mining either through a lease or through some other process. I submit that this law does not apply to Mr. Azier as a coal owner. This is strictly a surface owner notification and protection act, also to provide damages to the surface owner. There is a definition of mineral owner in there, but my recollection, the way this law works, is there is a process whereby if the coal company gets a certain percentage of the mineral interest, 75% of the mineral interest leased, they can then petition a district court for the PSC to issue a mining permit, notwithstanding the failure to get 100% of the surface owner consent. But that definition is not in there for, in this instance, Mr. Azier's purpose. It's there for the purpose was I just mentioned, which is if they have up to 75% of those mineral rights leased, they can potentially get a district court to issue, have direct the Public Service Commission to issue a mining permit. So I submit that his citation to anything in Chapter 38-18 has nothing to do with him as a mineral owner. And I guess with that, I'd like to go to our witness.
All right. As you gathered, I'm not swearing in the witnesses because this is an informal conference, okay. But you can proceed.
Jim, would you please state your name and your business address and your position with Falkirk?
It's James Melchior. I'm land manager for Falkirk Mining Company, and our office address is 2000 Schaefer Street, Bismarck, North Dakota.
And Jim, how long have you been land manager for Falkirk?
Been in Falkirk's land office since 1975, been land manager for probably 20-some years and held different positions in the land department since 1975.
I'm sorry, could you spell your name for us for the record?
Melchior.
Thank you.
And part of your duties as land manager is you're responsible for all the mineral and surface rights owner records pertaining to leasing and mining, is that right?
That's correct.
Your Honor, are we going to have exhibits or?
Yeah, if you want to present some documents, that's fine.
Okay.
If you have copies for everybody?
I do. Jim, showing you, I guess I haven't marked these. So
be Exhibit 1.
Let's back up a little bit. Now, this lease was taken in what year?
1974.
And it was from whom?
Carl H. Reimers and Margaret A. Reimers, husband and wife, to Consolidation Coal Company out of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
And does Falkirk now own the rights to this lease?
Yes, they do.
We'd offer Exhibit 1.
All right, I'll admit Exhibit 1.
Now, based upon the files and records of Falkirk, what did Mr. and Mrs. Reimers own in 1974?
The lease covered, 1974, 8.33% of the coal estate, under the two-quarter sections of land comprising 320 acres.
So they did not own the surface at the time of leasing?
No, they did not.
Okay. Now, I note this lease. Can you explain this lease? It has language in it which could be applicable to surface outcrop owners. What's the purpose of that?
This coal lease is used back in the 70s to, we called it the all-purpose lease. It covered surface, coal, whatever the lessor or owner that signed a lease owned at the time. This particular lease has got provisions for surface royalties, surface damage payments, surface notices, and along with notices to, or payments to royalty owners or coal owners, mineral royalties, and annual payments for each mineral acre and each surface acre.
So whatever the owner owned, be it surface or coal or both, the lease would cover that interest, is that
That's
right?
correct.
Now, paragraph 5C of the lease regarding notice to the lessor prior to commencing mining operations, to whom does that apply?
The surface owner.
And the purpose, again, is to do what?
The purpose of the was to allow the surface owner continued use of the lease premises for, well, this one says timber and agricultural purposes until such time as the lessee would give 6 months' notice, upon during which time the owner had the right to remove his crops, his timber, and any buildings or other improvements that were on the property.
So in the case of this kind of hybrid lease, this paragraph wouldn't be applicable to a person who just owned coal?
No.
I'd also like to refer you to paragraph 13 of the lease. I believe it's the second to the last sentence there. Could you please read that?
The paragraph is entitled Assignment. It says, no such change or division in the ownership of the land or royalties shall be binding upon lessee for any purpose until such person acquiring any interest has furnished lessee with an instrument or instruments or certified their copies thereof constituting such person's chain of title from the original lessor.
And so would an example of this be if the original lessor was deceased, you would need to be provided by an heir probate documents?
Yes.
And only until you receive such documents as mandated by the lease are you required to change your records?
That's correct.
Now, again, in reference to the files and records of the Falkirk Mining Company, to your knowledge, are Carl and Margaret Reimers, the original lessors, deceased?
Pardon me?
Are they deceased?
Yes, they are.
And has Falkirk conducted a search of the records of McLean County to determine if there's probate documents recorded for their estates?
Yes, we have.
And did you find any?
No.
And have you been notified pursuant to paragraph 13 of the lease by any of the heirs of their deaths and been provided probate documents?
No.
Now, could you explain who Jeanette Nierenberg is?
It's a sibling, a daughter of Carl H. and Margaret A. Reimers based on an affidavit of heirship that we've obtained.
And to your knowledge, what is her relationship to Mr. Azure?
His mother.
To the best of your knowledge?
To the best of my knowledge.
And has she passed away?
Yes.
And again, based upon Falkirk's search of the records, have you located a probate in the McLean County records?
No.
And has Falkirk been notified of her death and been provided probate documents as required by the lease?
No.
Now, I'd like to go into a little bit explaining some of the due diligence which Falkirk has done in this case in attempts to locate the heirs of Carl, Margaret, and Jeanette. And Your Honor, here I have sort of a packet of documents,
right.
Four or five. We can consider one exhibit, if that works.
That would work.
I think I gave all my
Will be exhibit two.
Exhibit two, okay. And Your Honor, if it's okay with you, I would just ask Mr. Melchior to summarize what's contained in these documents, not to read them.
Sure.
And so, Jim, could you explain the first letter?
First letter was dated June 6, 1988, from Consolidation Coal Company, who was the lessee under the lease at the time. It was a letter to Mrs. Margaret Reimers, requesting copies of documentation of her husband's death, including will, probate, and any other documents to satisfy apparently her request to change the lease to just her name.
So they're looking for probate information, is that right?
Yes.
Next letter, please.
Second one was a follow-up letter from Consol in February 2nd, 1989, again to Mrs. Reimers, enclosing a copy of the June 6th, 88 letter, saying that no change can be made until the proper documentation is received.
And the next document?
Next is a memo to our file dated in February of 04, February 19th. It was a call to Charles Reimers, who is, I believe, the son of Carl and Margaret A. Reimers, summarizing that he said he talked to his attorney, and the attorney said to keep everything as it is because it's such a small interest. Charles wants to keep the lease as is and advise that the payments can continue just to go to the Farmers Security Bank, which was done in 2004.
And so that, again, is direction to leave things as is and Carl and Margaret's name, correct?
That's correct.
And the next document?
Next document was a rental receipt for a payment that was sent to Farmers Security Bank for the annual payment under the lease. It was returned by the bank saying this customer no longer has an account at the bank. Please reissue it. Again, we phoned Mr. Charles Reimers, and he advised that the account is closed and just to send the check to Carl and Margaret to his address in care of him.
And again, Charles is one of the siblings of
correct.
Margaret and Carl, correct?
That's correct.
And the next letter?
Next letter is dated December 2nd, 2009 to Jeffrey C. Azure, Corey T. Azure, Paul Azure, and James Azure, stating that we were updating our lease records and that they are identified as potential heirs of Jeanette Nienberg, who may be entitled to a portion of the 26.67 net coal acres that were owned by Carl and Margaret Reimers. And we enclosed a copy of a proof of death and heirship and a W-9 form and asked that they complete that to evidence and document that they are whoever the heirs are to Jeanette Nienberg.
So again, you're seeking information on heirs of Carl and Margaret, correct?
And their siblings, yes, and Jeanette's.
And the next document?
The next was some email correspondence between Steve Bitz and Corey Azure in trying to get some additional documentation as to addresses and...
And just to interrupt him, Steve Bitz is whom?
Steve Bitz is a land specialist in Falkirk Land Office.
And Corey Azure is whom?
One of the sons, based on the affidavit of heirship, one of the sons of Jeanette Nienberg.
And again, attempts to locate heirs, get the probate documentation, is that correct?
That's correct.
And the last letter?
The last letter is a copy of a letter dated December 2109 to Paul Azure. Again, stating we are updating our lease records and had learned that he was a potential heir of Jeanette Nienberg, who is entitled to some of that, who is an heir, possible heir, to part of the acreage owned by Carl and Margaret, And again, asked for W-9 to be returned to our office documenting the Social Security number.
And it's my understanding that through these efforts, you finally were able to secure a few probate documents, being the wills of Carl and Margaret, and also a proof of death and heirship for Jeanette Nierenberg. Is that right?
That's correct.
This be Exhibit 3?
This be Exhibit 3, yes.
And just briefly, Jim, the first document is the will of Carl Reimers, is that correct?
That is correct.
And sets forth some heirship?
Yes, the heirs, legal heirs at law.
Okay, and?
At the time of the will.
And I believe there is the will of Margaret also attached?
Yes, and also the will of Margaret A. Reimers.
Okay. And the next document?
They list the same heirs. Okay.
And the next document, the proof of death and heirship?
The next document is proof of death and heirship of Jeanette Nienberg. And it lists the affiant's knowledge of the four heirs of Jeanette.
And that, when is that notarized? What date?
That was notarized December 14th, 2009.
So am I correct then that only through your land office's recent efforts was Falkirk able to identify heirs in order to pay royalties?
That is correct.
And to this point, to your knowledge, there have been no probates of Carl, Margaret, or Jeanette Nierenberg, is that correct?
That is correct.
And none of the heirs have provided documentation as required to you by the lease?
That is correct.
And Falkirk is not entitled and legally entitled to probate the estates of deceased mineral owners, is it?
That's my understanding, yes.
That would be an heir's responsibility to probate the estate of a parent or grandparent.
That's correct.
Now, what would have been the alternative to the due diligence which Falkirk engaged in here since you were not provided any notification under the lease?
The alternative is escrowing the payments under the lease until such time as the state in which Carl and Margaret Reimers last resided, based on their abandoned property rules, you would hold the money until it was required to be submitted to the unclaimed properties of that particular state.
But am I correct that in this case, Falkirk wished to undertake some effort to try to locate these heirs?
That is correct.
And only through Falkirk's due diligence, did you actually locate the heirs?
Yes.
And now, as we understand, Mr. Azure is a co-owner. Should estates of Carl and Margaret Reimers be probated and Jeanette Nierenberg be probated?
That is based on the accuracy of the affidavits of identity or proof of death and heirship, that would be correct.
Okay. And has he been tendered and accepted any royalty check?
Just the one, the first royalties for fourth quarter 2009, which was made in January of 10, and I think the check cleared in February of 2010.
Now, the regulations and law in question require that the application include the names and addresses of the owners of record of the service and coal. Is that correct to your knowledge?
That's correct to my knowledge, yes.
And is that what Falkirk did in this instance, was provide the names and addresses of the owners of coal of record?
Yes, that's what we've done.
And to your knowledge, there still is no record of record notice of any of these heirships. Is that correct?
To my knowledge, record title is still in the name of Carl and Margaret Reimers.
And that's based upon searches conducted by either yourself or people under your supervision at Falkirk?
People under my supervision at Falkirk.
And has Mr. Azure or any of his other heirs sent copies of any of these required documents to Falkirk as mandated by the lease?
No.
Had they done so, would they have enlisted in the application as a coal owner?
Yes.
Your Honor, I guess at this point I'd just like to make a couple legal points. First of all, Mr. Azure has cited North Dakota Administrative Code Section 69-05.2-06-01 as a basis for his appeal.
Would you state that again, please?
Yep. 69-05.2-06-01. And I have copies here. Maybe it'd best if I pass those out.
Sure, I don't need one. I've got it here. So. I'll take official notice of that.
And referring to section one there, and it says, in addition to satisfying the applicable requirements of subsection one of North Dakota Century Code 38-14.1-14, each application must contain the names and addresses of the owner of record of surface and coal subsurface rights contiguous to the permit area extending 1/4 mile from the permit boundary. We submit that this regulation is not applicable in this instance because this land subject to this lease is within the permit. It's not a contiguous area. And that, I'm going to pass out a different law now, Your Honor.
All right.
The correct site would have been North Dakota Century Code Section 38-14.1-14.1C, which requires it in the permit application to include the holders of record, surface and subsurface of any interest in the property. So we believe Mr. Azure has cited the wrong rule.
That was 38-14.114, subsection 1C. Is that the one?
Right.
Take official notice of that also. And by the way, I took official notice, or I'm taking official notice of the sections you cited also, Mr. Azure.
Okay. Because they're totally different sections.
Right.
I don't know where he got them from.
And I guess, Your Honor, to extent I would offer exhibits 2 and 3. Have they been already received?
Pardon me?
Has exhibit 3 been received?
Yes, I've received exhibits 1, 2, and 3.
Anything else? Your Honor, I'd just like to make a short statement.
Sure.
First of all, I would submit that under the mining law, Falkirk has complied with the law as it exists and as written, in that they provided on the permit application the names and addresses of the coal owners of record, okay, that is required by the law and the regulations, and Falkirk complied with it. Mr. Azure may not be happy with that, and he may wish it read differently, but that is the law, and that's what Falkirk complied with. And as you can see from the documentation we've provided, Falkirk has made a diligent effort over the years to discover those errors, and primarily dealing with a son of Carl and Margaret, being Charles Reimers, and just being told not to do anything, not to change the records, to continue to show it in Carl and Margaret. And he's an heir, and that's what was done. I mean, had any of these errors, either of Carl and Margaret Reimers or Jeanette Nierenberg, probated the estates and established ownership, and notified Falkirk as required by the lease, we wouldn't be at this hearing today because they would have received notice, and presumably they would have been acceptable. I would also like to call the court's attention, and I have a copy of the North Dakota Supreme Court case of Lee versus Gulf Oil. In this case, the Supreme Court recognizes that a lessor or a lessor's heirs must notify a lessee of ownership changes, and that the lease cannot be terminated because the successor in interest did not inform the lessee of their interest in the manner required by the lease. So I have I'll just hand out the case.
What? Okay. I'll take official notice of that, too.
And with that, that would conclude our case at this point, Your Honor.
All right, thank you. Did you say, maybe, I don't know if I missed this, but did you say that there was a check paid to Mr. Paul Asher?
Yes.
What was the basis for paying that check? If
we have modified our records to pay the heirs based on the affidavits of heirship. The royalty interests of Carl and Margaret Reimers. They're still record title owners, but for royalty payment purposes, we've elected to pay the heirs rather than escheat the money to unclaimed properties.
What was the date of that check again?
It should have been dated sometime in January of 2010. It was for fourth quarter royalties. There was another check sent out in April for the annual payments.
April 2010.
Correct. And then there was another check sent out in April of 2010 for first quarter royalties. The only check that has cleared the bank so far is the first check that was dated in January.
Okay. What was the date of the application again? The permit revision application?
Right off the top of my head.
I probably have that here someplace. December 31st of...
What date was it approved?
No, I'm talking about when was the date of the application.
December 31st, 2009 was the date it was docketed.
December 31st.
So that's the notice of informal conference says December 31st, 2010. Obviously, that's an error, right?
That's
should be 2009. And has it been approved?
No, it has not.
Oh, it hasn't. So when you changed your records to pay the heirs based on the, what was it you said again, based on the, looking for the correct terminology here. The affidavit of heir, or proof of death and the heirship affidavit, is that
correct?
Did you also then change your notice procedures?
No, the as far as complying with the ownership requirements under the permit, the ownership interest of record, the title to those coal minerals still vests in Carl and Margaret Reimers.
So you
their
did.
Estates. As far as record title.
We'll strike that, I think. Is it okay now?
Yeah.
Okay. So you followed what you believe to be the statutory requirement for notice?
Correct. Plus...
She didn't make any, you didn't file any revised notice or anything like that?
No. Record title ownership still vests in Carl and Margaret Reamers.
Okay. All right, thank you. All right, before we get back to follow-up presentations, I just want to see if the Reclamation Division wants to weigh in and make any comments or...
We don't have any comments. I would just ask Mr. Deutsch one procedural question.
Okay.
About whether it's customary when the Reclamation Division receives a permit application for the Reclamation staff to do a title search or to do a record search at the county.
No, we do not. I guess that's something we've never done on any of the applications.
So you rely on the applicant to provide the correct information?
Yes, we do. And in this case, Mr. Azure had requested that we check the records on file with McLean County Courthouse, but there again, I told him the same. That's something we normally do not do. If this was something we were to undertake on a lot of these applications, we'd be spending a lot of time at that. And there again, our primary function or mission under the reclamation law is to see that the mining operations comply with the law with regard to the environmental effects of mining and to see that the lands are properly reclaimed.
So again, I mean, if somebody, if theoretically or practically, if somebody's not included on the application it should have been, then it's up to them, as Mr. Azure did, to file a protest and say they weren't included.
That is correct.
All right. Okay.
That's all I have, Your Honor.
Thank you, Ms. Bendish. Okay. And that's why we're here today, to decide whether your protest or your request for an informal conference and basis for that conference meeting, or your request basically, I guess, is a denial, whether that's appropriate or not. So in light of what Falkirk has just presented, Mr. Azure, do you have any follow-up?
Basically, Falkirk just showed that they had all the paperwork, including death certificates, and everything else they needed, and they had it all before revision 19 was filed. So I'm saying that according to 3814.118.2, a list of all subsurface mineral owners within the proposed permit area. It doesn't say subsurface mineral record owners, it says subsurface mineral owners. And they had all the they just showed that they had all the records to prove that I was a legal mineral owner. I had even received a check from them already. I should have been listed.
Well, you got the check after the application was made, didn't you?
Their application was approved February 17th. Is that right?
My question was, you got the check after the application was made.
Oh.
Isn't that right?
Right.
Yeah, okay. When was the notice given in the newspapers? I probably have that here someplace, but... That have been 2/25/10, is that right?
Well, it's required that the notice be published once a week for four consecutive weeks. And
right, through 3/18/10, right? Is that right?
225 was the first.
Okay, yeah.
I'd like to submit this to you.
What's that?
This is from my cousin. She should have been included also in there.
Okay.
And I believe, and Falkirk knew about it before.
Do you have copies of this?
Newspaper?
You don't have copies of that, Mr. Gillen?
No.
I think I maybe have copies of that.
That's what we were talking about when I asked him several times to go and look it up, and he refused. So I went and got a copy myself.
Well, he told you that they don't do that,
yeah,
isn't that right?
But I asked him to investigate it. As part of an investigation, I asked him to look it up, and he refused.
Well, he told you that.
Yeah, he did tell me they don't do that.
Okay. So,
I did it, supply it.
Okay. Just a second here. Let's hold on a second here. I want to identify some things. I know, I think that was a document you supplied me with, Mr. Deutsch, wasn't it?
I believe it was an attachment to Mr. Azure's.
Yeah. Did you send
April 9th letter? So
Ms. Bendish, did you send somebody to make copies?
I did.
Thank you. I'm going to find it out. We'll just wait for the copies here. Just hold on a second, please. But I think probably we want to make as part of the record the notice filing too.
If you have a copy of the commission's docket, it would be attached to docket number 15.
Yeah, I know, I've seen it in there, but I'm not locating it right now. So we'll just wait till we get the copies made, and then we can mark it. Okay. I think this is it.
Your Honor, we can submit this letter with attachments on the publication if you'd like.
Yeah, with the notice? Is that?
It's an affidavit of publication.
Okay. Has that got this with the Bismarck Tribune file?
Yes.
Yeah, I'd like that, please.
There's a letter also references publication in Underwood News, McLean County Independent, Washburn Leader News.
Okay, first of all, yeah, let's. I'm going to include in the record Exhibit 4 that you just presented, Mr. Azure.
Thank you.
And then you've seen a copy of this notice, I think, haven't you? You must have seen it because you claim you're not on it. It's the notice that
the
they filed?
The newspaper?
Right.
Yes, I got it.
Okay.
I seen it in the newspaper.
All right. Okay. I'm going to include that as part of the record also. Okay. Okay. Anything else you want to tell me in follow up, Mr. Azure?
Yeah. Jim just. Jim just mentioned that.
Wait, we gotta get it recorded. Okay.
Jim just mentioned that he hadn't seen this document.
Which document? The.
The
one you just exhibit four.
I just gave to you.
Uh huh.
I believe he has, and if it comes to a court, formal court, I believe I can prove it.
He does. I meant I hadn't seen it today. This document we do have. In our records, it's a decree determining heirship to real property that was done for Arlene Debke. In our records, it's in our records, but there has been no probate of the estates from her parents down to her. So she is not. This doesn't create record title. Record title still vests in the parents until the parents' estates are distributed to the heirs of, to their heirs. So, it, but we do have this in our file.
Okay.
Plus, this is not an heirship of either Mr. Azure's grandparents or mother. It's someone else.
Yep. Right, this is a cousin. This is a cousin.
It's a cousin.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is that should have been in the paper, and it wasn't. My name should have been listed in a permit application, and it wasn't. I believe they had enough paperwork, as they just showed everybody, to prove that I was a mineral owner. Going back to the coal lease that he was so interested in. I don't believe he's a coal lease judge.
Who isn't a coal lease judge?
Mr. Jim there.
Okay.
He sounded like an expert, but I'd like you to look this coal lease over in your spare time.
Well, it's part of what I'm going to look at making my decision.
Okay. Look over section one on it. You look that over. Find that all his rights go to his children and his grandchildren and so on, all his heirs. It doesn't say anything about you have to do a bunch of legal documents, you have to go to court, you have to pay thousands of dollars worth of attorneys. It says right here, all the rights get transferred. And they just show themselves they have the legal, they have enough documentation to prove mineral or chain of heirship. Section 9 of the coal lease gives us right to enter for inspection and measuring the quantity of coal. Well, how can you do that when we don't even know we got a coal lease? You know? All this documentation and stuff should have been done before they even started mining. They shouldn't have been able to mine without it. If you look how the federal government works, I got Indian lease land. And that they work way different than these guys do. I mean, they're right on top of it. I don't know if the all I'm saying is I'm a legal mineral right owner, and these guys aren't following the rules. You're going to have to look over the documents yourself and make your own decision, but that's about all I got to say about it.
Thank you, Mr. Azure. Mr. Biella, you have any further presentation on follow-up?
Yes, Your Honor. Well, again, just to emphasize that, as I have, that under the rule requires the permit application contain names and addresses of owners of record.
We did that. We've also established that the publication was in February, March of, was that 09 or 10?
10,
okay. That under the Century Code 3814.1, 14.1, it says every legal or equitable owner of record, surface and subsurface. So that also requires ownership of record.
But it doesn't say of record in 18.2, section 18.2. It says, and that's the notice requirement, because all owners of surface rights of land within the proposed permit area and a list of all subsurface mineral owners.
Which code section is that?
3814.118, subsection 2.
And a list of subsurface mineral owners. Mm-hmm. But Mr. Hingroff, sorry, I think the first part of that 3814.1-18, subsection 2, it says the permit applicant shall also conduct a search of records at the county recorder for each county of land within the proposed permit area and supply the commission with a list of the names and addresses of all surface owners of lands within.
That was going to be my next question. Is it implied that it's of record?
I guess that's the way we've always interpreted that. It'd be similar to what's in the section earlier on, under 3814.1-14, section 1C, that there again it says the owners of record of property within the permit area.
Mr. Biello or Mr. Melchior, can you give me a timeline on when you got those records that
we that typically
in your due diligence, you know?
If the permit application was filed in December, we would have typically done that research in the 90 days before the permit submittal, approximately. All the lands of which are mined, we have abstracts and title opinions prepared. So our title opinions gives us record title owners based on all recorded documents as of a certain date. So our search goes from that day forward, and then we document. So we only do a search every time the permit's renewed, we need to update the ownership. Again, the affidavits or the proof of death and heirship documents themselves do not create title. They basically indicate the heirs that would likely succeed to the property of the decedent. In order to transfer title, you need to do some sort of probate or decree, court-issued decree to record a record to show that those rights and property have been transferred. And all that under our lease is the responsibility of the lessor to do that.
Your Honor, I believe Exhibit 3 would indicate in December of 09 was when they were making the attempts to locate the heirs and contact them.
I'm sorry, I cut you off, Mr. Biello. You were kind of making your final closing statement there.
Well, as I mentioned, we've complied with the law as notified the owners of record. If Mr. Azure wants the law changed or the rules changed, that's a totally separate matter, totally separate proceeding. Falkirk has complied with the law. It's ironic that we're here today because of the efforts that Falkirk underwent to try and find him. He wouldn't even be sitting here today but for all the diligence that Falkirk tried to do in November and December to try to locate him, right? We wrote him letters, gave him notice. That's the only thing that even brings him here today. Had he done what was required under the lease as a successor in interest to Carl and Margaret Reimers and provided the documentation, or had someone else, one of the other heirs, probated these estates, they would have been notified. They would have been in the publication. Falkirk can't probate the estates of deceased mineral owners. It's not their legal obligation or their right to do so. So we ask that this permit be allowed, revision be allowed to proceed and be approved. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Biela. Anything final you want to say, Ms. Bendish?
I don't have anything further, Your Honor.
Okay. Mr. Azure, since you're the requester, anything final? I pretty much said what you wanted to say.
Yeah, you heard it.
Okay. All right, if there's nothing else to bring to my attention, as I said, I'll be issuing a recommended decision shortly to the Public Service Commission. You'll get a copy, Mr. Azure. You'll get a copy. I should send it to you, Mr. Biela?
Yes.
Okay. And, of course, I'll send you a copy, too, Ms. Bendish. And then they'll have from 30 days from today to issue a final decision, and I'm sure you'll all get copies of that. That'll come from the commission, though, not from me. Okay. If there's nothing else to bring to my attention, it's about 2:40. This informal conference is closed. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.